Good evening, everybody. As somebody once said, they don't like when radio shows start off with a lot of music, so we're going to get right into it. I have to admit, I always fast forward over the starting music, but hey, I like a little theme music, so you know that you're listening to the Fakeologist Show. Today is Sunday, August 7th, 2022. It's 1:03 p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time. It is really hot here in Canada. I'm on the North Shore, by the way, of Lake Ontario in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. It is a whopping 31 degrees, plus humidity puts it over 40. Even Lake Ontario is about 24 degrees right now, which is amazing. And after this show, I think I'm going to go jump in the lake. Can't do that often in Canada. So if you have an opportunity, you got to do it. But I'm starting the show early because this means it's European day. It's instead of starting the show at 8 p.m., I started the show about 6 or 7 hours early because we have some Central Europeans on the call. And I am going to get right into it and first introduce someone you already know. And that is who I call a pawn child of the Fakeologist Show from quite a few years back. And that is Martin of Cui Bono. So, Martin, hello.
Hello. Nice to be here again.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. And I think our sub-guest slipped out, but just got back in. So I've unmuted your sub-guest. So let me just say hello to her real quick before getting back to you and having you introduce her. So that pretty face you see on the screen, which I'll put up right now, is Linda Karlstrom. Did I say that right?
Good pronunciation.
Oh, thank you. I always like to try and pronounce using the language. And that is a Swedish name, I believe.
It is. And you actually knew how to pronounce the O with two dots over. That's Ö.
Completely accidental, I assure you. But Folius Hadius is Martin, and he's of Cui Bono. Patrick, his partner, could not make it today. But they form a great radio show called Cui Bono. Most of them are in Swedish. But the occasional one is in English, and those are the ones I listen to, of course. So they're in my download list. So Martin, how have you been? And tell us all about the special guest that you brought today.
Yeah. Föreningen in Cui Bono, we started in the summer of 2010, and I joined in 2014, and I think before I joined, Föreningen Cui Bono had Linda as a guest, as a lecture holder, since that's our core activity from the beginning, to invite people who have a message that is not exposed in the mainstream media news. So that's what we have been doing since then, And in 2017, me and Patrick, we started Radio Cui Bono. And it's, as you said, it's a podchild of your podcast, since I started to listen to your show in 2016, I think. And I listened to all your then made episodes. I think it was 200 or so. And I learned so much. And then I met Patrick and I introduced him to this way of looking to the world, and then we thought we need to spread this message also to a Swedish audience, since there are no similar podcasts here in Sweden. And we had Linda Karlstrom on as a guest. I think it was the 20th episode or so, and then Patrick, he had done some research on the medical industry, but he hadn't looked at vaccines. So before the show, he had to start to look at the vaccines, and he found out that it was also a fraudulent business then, when we interviewed Linda. And then we have been getting very good friends, and Linda have visited us here And she has also been an upcoming guest on our show since we did some Corona special, and we did some shows about her when the Swedish television tricked her into a trap, which she will tell you about later. So, yeah, that's a little bit introduction how me and Linda met.
Okay, very good. Linda, it's definitely your turn. We're going to try and give you as much of the floor as possible because I have a bad tendency to interrupt and to talk too much. So, and I don't like hosts that talk about themselves when they have a great guest. So go for it. Tell us all about how you got into vaccines, first of all, because that is, to me, that's the topic of the day and it's not going away.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me here. Yes, so my name is Linda and I have 5 children. And my first one was born 17 years ago. And when she turned 2 years, we discovered something strange on her chest, right here in the middle of the chest. It was like a tumor. And it was a long adventure before we got any clarity into what it was. But anyhow, we were put into the cancer. What do you call it? Like cancer?
Cancer ward, the cancer department of a hospital. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. In one of the biggest hospitals in Finland, mm-hmm. And they told us it was an aggressive cancer. So they were just about to put, what's it called in English? Cellgift. Martin, please help me.
Is that chemotherapy or radiation?
Yes, chemotherapy. Thank you. Yeah,
there's slash, burn, and poison. That's how I know. Right. There's three things, and you usually get them all, don't you?
Yes, you do. And she was only 2 years old, and I was devastated. So we got to go home over the weekend to take all the stuff we needed for the whole summer because we were going to be there for an unknown time until she was hopefully getting well or until she was dead. We didn't know.
That's your firstborn.
My first child.
Terrible.
Yeah. When we were driving home from the hospital, they called us and they said, well, hold on for a minute. Like the biopsy that we took from this tumor, mm-hmm. it's starting to show that it, or it's looking like
malignant
tuberculosis.
Oh.
Yeah. So they asked, has she gotten any vaccine against tuberculosis? And I said, well, of course. Didn't you notice it's all in her journal? Yeah, right. She was newborn because by then all the babies in Finland got this tuberculosis vaccine right after birth.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said, well, this might actually be from the vaccination she got.
Wow.
Like a side effect. And it's no cancer, it's tuberculosis. And for me, this was, of course, very, very good news. Like cancer was the worst thing you could ever get when you had a child. So if she only had tuberculosis, that was good news.
Oh, I see.
And it turned out being that was actually the fact. She had gotten a side effect from the vaccination and she got well and we never needed any chemotherapy, of course, because mm-hmm. it wasn't cancer. So this drove me into this whole vaccination thing and I took a dive into everything I could find, like how did this happen and why did this happen? She got the thing the vaccine was supposed to protect her from. Mm-hmm. She got it. She got it actually because of the vaccination. And it wasn't very easy to find information. I pretty soon discovered because by then I thought that everything you needed to know was written in the newspaper or you could easily find it in the library.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't like easily find this information about the vaccination. So I was, you know, nighttime digging on the internet, finding more and more. And the more I read, the more just upset I became because I realized, oh my God, I've been fooled all my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I gave the best possible start to my firstborn child when she got a vaccine right after she was born. And then, of course, when she was 3 months old and 5 months and 8 months and 12 months and so on. So she got everything that was in the national vaccination program right on time. And I thought I was the best parent ever.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized like, oh my God. And I just felt like, okay, so I need to tell this to everybody. I need to stand on the roofs and just shout it out to all the parents in the world. Like, beware of this danger of the vaccinations. They are not protecting your children from anything. They're just making them sick. So there's no use for vaccinations, please. But I soon realized that that was not a very good strategy because people wouldn't listen. They didn't want to know. They didn't even want to read the information I would put in front of them. And I said, here's a study. Read this. And they were like, oh, no, it's in English. Don't have the time to read this. And I will maybe read later when I don't have small children anymore and I have more time.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is too late.
Hey, Linda, where did you get your info way back in 17 years ago? What kind of places did you find? What were some of the what were some of the things that you found? Because I haven't really been aware of any of this until, of course, the COVID thing. So what was available 17 years ago? And what made you so sure that this was the answer you were looking for? How did you, because you, were you a conspiracy person 17 years ago? Were you aware of the way the world works?
Not really. I wasn't. It was something in my stomach, like my intuition, that told me, like, gosh, this must be true. Because I soon realized that these people that are writing this stuff, for example, Vera Scheidner was one of the first persons I found that was actually into this with vaccination.
Is that a German person? Or is that Finnish?
Is she from Austria, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. So
it could be German anyways, and, in Austria.
And also there is, I think, Greg Beatty. I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
That name doesn't ring a bell here, but that's fine.
Okay.
Greg Beatty.
So anyways, these were the persons I found, and they had written some books. So today I have like, you can easily find like hundreds of books on the internet.
Oh, yes. I know that.
Yeah.
But I've downloaded most of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've got them all. Fake11.com/vax, V-A-X, where I put all my movies and books, and anyone can just grab them. If somebody wants to hook up to that connection, you can do that on my end. But yeah, I share everything that I find, all the books, and there's unlimited books. So these people were giving you a message that all vaccines were poison and toxic and dangerous?
Yes.
What about just some vaccines or just some combinations? Were those?
That is what you would like to believe.
Yeah.
And that is actually what most parents seem to believe when you tell them the truth. And I was in there for a short while too, because I thought when my firstborn got tuberculosis, I thought, oh my gosh, this tuberculosis vaccine seems to be a dangerous one.
Yeah.
I will not give this to my second and third child. But of course, all the other vaccines is good, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Only this tuberculosis might be bad. That was my first, because I was so brainwashed with all the vaccine information. I mean, you're born into this vaccine religion. And so was I. So when it turned out that a vaccine actually could make my daughter sick, I thought it was just only that shot.
Mm-hmm.
So actually still, when I try to convince parents that all vaccines are bad, there are no good vaccines, there are no necessary vaccines, they will still, after my lecture is done, they will still ask me questions like, what if you travel abroad, Linda? I guess if you would go to Africa, then you would need to take these vaccines, right? And I'm like, well, it seems like you didn't get my point.
Mm.
If vaccines are worthless, if they make you sick, they won't work in another way if you go abroad. It's still worthless.
Mm-hmm.
Poison, they are just loads of poisons that you put into your body. How could that ever protect you from getting sick? Actually, they will make you sick because poisons are never good for you, especially not when you inject them. But I still notice that this is very hard for people to accept. They would still say, well, I have an unvaccinated child. And I'm like, congratulations. And then they will go on. She never got the flu vaccine, but she got all the other vaccines, of course, but she didn't get the flu vaccine. Mm-hmm. And they will call this child unvaccinated, and they will be proud because they like go, they are like not following the system 100%. They will not take the flu shot, and they're kind of proud when they meet me and can brag with this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, it seems like you didn't go all the way into the truth. You need to study more. But I have realized that you can never talk a parent into something, and you shouldn't, because people should do the study themselves.
Yes.
They should come to the conclusion themselves, because only then they can be sure and know where they stand. So if they get questioned later on, which they will be by the, what do you call it?
The authorities, the medical authorities, yeah.
Right. When you go on your baby checkups or
right.
what you call
so-called
it.
So-called wellness checkups. Wellness. Right. That's
wellness
crazy.
Wellness checkups, yeah. So if they don't do their own study, they won't be able to stand up. They will easily fall for the pressure then.
Oh, yes.
So I always nowadays encourage people when they ask, they usually ask me, tell me what to do. Tell me how to do. And I'm like, no, I'm not the person to tell you what to do, because you need to make your own decision based on knowledge, true knowledge. Don't follow anyone else. Don't follow what your doctor says. Don't follow what I say. You need to find a way to listen to your own intuition and be sure in what you do. But this is so hard nowadays when the society works like you go to work, you pick your child from the daycare, you go home, you do your dinner, you watch the television where they probably talk about the vaccines and how good they are and why you need them. Even in the programs that are made for children, you will find this propaganda all the time. You go to bed, you wake up, you go to work, you know, you have this system running all the time, and you don't have time even to find all this information that you need to dive into to be sure in what to do in society today, to do the right thing and to find the truth, because we are being served lies anywhere in the television and in the mainstream media, the newspaper, the radio. You usually say that the truth will set you free, which I absolutely think. But at first, the truth will piss you off.
Mm-hmm.
And when parents don't want to get pissed off because it's really harsh on you, you don't have the time to put energy into something that will piss you off. So you want to stay in the same track as everybody else. That is easier. And that is what is the problem today, I think.
Well, it's always been the problem. Yeah. Was your husband back 17 years ago on the same track as you? Because without kind of support, it can be difficult.
It is, but he saw his own daughter getting sick. And mm-hmm. To him, he never questioned my decision. It was our decision not to vaccinate our children anymore, of course.
Right.
Because the parents need to be
unified
together in this.
Yeah.
But he never questioned my knowledge about vaccinations. He didn't do the studying. I did, but
right.
He never questioned me. So it's been an easy choice for my family, which is good. I've been contacted by a lot of parents during the years where one of them thinks that the children absolutely should be vaccinated, and
other
one thinks the opposite. And actually, many times this results in a divorce.
Yes, I can sure.
And they start to argue about who should take care of the children, and they take it to court.
Yeah.
And the court always decides that the vaccine-believing parent, the parent that wants to give vaccinations to the children, of course, they win.
Right, even over mothers.
Yeah, even over mothers.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. What was it 17 years ago that really made you click in? Is there one person you read or one book you read that really tipped you off? Because to go all the way is quite extraordinary, really.
I know.
If you think about it. Like, I'm the same as you when it comes to truth. I learned about 9/11 in about 3 weeks, and I went all the way to the whole thing was a simulation, and I went to a part that most 9/11 researchers don't even go. They say, oh, no, there was planes. I said, no, no, you don't understand. This is a complete psychological operation. These people, they really know how to run an operation. This is not just a half mistake kind of thing. This is full on. Same with vaccines.
I absolutely, that is the only, if you ask me, that is the right way to do it. You go right into the core of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise you will still get fooled by another psyop if you don't go to the very core. And now I remember the English title of the book that really got me realizing about the vaccinations. It is Vaccination, A Parent's Dilemma. That is the name of.
Let's see if I have that one. And who wrote that
it's
one?
It's written by, it's this Greg, let me see.
Greg Beatty?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Greg Beatty, if you, Vaccination, A Parent's Dilemma, Australia, 1997, it was written. So it is pretty old, but it's very, very still up to date because nothing has actually changed.
Yeah, nothing has changed, you're right.
And this one was actually translated into Swedish as well. So that is why I took this book as my first one, because it was at first when I started digging, I needed some information in my own mother tongue. So I speak Swedish, even though I live in Finland, because we have two official languages in Finland and I'm a Swedish speaking Finn.
Oh, is Sweden an official language still there?
Yeah. Swedish is an language in Finland. Yeah. Very few speak Swedish though, but it's still an official language. It's from the time we were part of Sweden.
Right. Yeah. The Swedish kingdom was huge.
Right. Yeah.
Huge. Absolutely. Yeah. I've looked that up.
Was part of Sweden.
And you guys were always fighting Russia, the Rus, apparently. Yeah. So that's another thing that's fascinating. European history is fascinating.
It is. It is, and now they're trying to destroy all the countries in Europe, but that's a whole other story.
The whole world, actually.
Actually, yeah.
Same.
Yeah, so this is the Swedish one, and I have printed it out from the internet. But anyway, Greg Beatty, Vaccination, A Parent's Dilemma, that was a good one. It's written by a parent, so it is in a language that we all can understand. It's not written by a scientist or a doctor that uses language that is hard for a normal person to follow. So this was...
I actually don't have that one, so now I'm going to type it in. Vaccination... Mm-hmm. A Parent's Dilemma.
Yeah. And this tells you and explains why there are no good vaccinations at all. And that vaccinations never immunize. They just makes you sensitive to get sick, all of the vaccinations. So I got thrown into the core of the truth immediately. But only, I have to tell you, it's taken me a long time to realize that the whole germ theory is a fake.
Yeah.
So if you, I guess you know that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty much on board with this whole terrain theory. I'm so, I'm just drained of this information now. It's just, I've looked into it for the last 2 years. I'm just tired of it. I get it. I get the point. I don't really even need to really go over it anymore. In my mind, there's many, many movies that keep coming out about this topic. I don't know about you, but I'm just so drained by it.
Well, actually, it took me a surprisingly long time to realize that the germ theory is fake. It's a hoax and there are no viruses.
Right.
And I remember when I got into vaccinations, someone told me already during the swine flu hoax in 2009, he told me that, well, you know, Linda, they have never found actually the HIV And I was like, what? What about all the pictures you can see? Well, they're just like made in a computer. They have never seen the virus. There is no HIV
in
virus.
Silico, they're called. In silico, in computers. That's what I call
yes,
it.
Yes, in silico. Yeah. And and so when this whole corona thing started with the COVID-19, I had it somewhere in my head that, okay, so when they found HIV, they said it was a new virus. And now they said this was a new virus, this COVID-19. So that is why I was on a pod with Radio Kibono by then. Mm-hmm. And we were just talking about this corona hysteria that was starting up by then, about 2 years ago, right. 2.5 years ago. And I just popped a question. I just said, has anyone actually found this virus?
Right.
And Patrick says, well, no. So this triggered me. So I went into Andrew Kaufman and Tom Cowan and Sam Bailey. And I just realized, oh my God, how can I have missed this? For all these years, I've been into vaccinations and I never realized that there are no viruses. So I had to redo all my lecture, and I did, and I had this new lecture in Gothenburg now just in April, this spring, and over 100 persons came to my lecture, and it went really well, and it feels so good now that I can do this updated lecture and actually teach people that there are no viruses. It's like lifting off a big burden from everyone. People are running around being scared to death about something that they cannot see, cannot touch, cannot hear. It's like, you know, being scared of a ghost in your wardrobe.
For sure.
And just makes me feel really good that I can help people realize that you have no reason to be this scared. You can go out, you can hug people. You don't need to wear this freaking mask.
Oh, yeah, that's another thing.
Yeah.
If you've got a copy of that book, let me know. I'm actually having a hard time finding it, so I definitely wouldn't mind a PDF. If anyone can get me the PDF, because I just looked on my normal PDF places online, and I do...
I will try to pick it up.
Yeah. I'm kind of surprised that... I thought I've listened and read every book, but this one has gone by my radar for some reason. So if it's a good one, I definitely want it as part of my collection for sure, especially if it's the one that triggered you.
There is a foreword by Vera Scheibner that I told you about as well. So she's been writing the foreword. I will try to dig this up in English when we're done, and I will mail you the link to it.
Yeah, I see. There's all kinds of clickbait links all over the place. And it does exist in some traditional looking libraries. This National Library of Australia, it's there. Isn't that interesting? But I don't think I can see it. They just list it as an entry, but I can't grab it from that, obviously.
I think it would be strange if this book wouldn't be available on the internet because it's so old.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, usually I can just find it, boom, boom, boom. But today it's just not coming up. I have a couple of pretty b-ok.cc is a really good source, but I'm not seeing it right off the top. So interesting.
Hmm. Yeah. Yes. So, would you like me to tell about this with the state television and what happened to me, or you just do the call, what you want me to talk about?
That's definitely an interesting twist to the whole thing now. So so let's just go back a bit. So you decided to go public with this information. Now, why? Because that's a huge step for most people, unless you were previously a public speaker or someone who just likes to tell people all about the truth that you are finding. How did you make that leap? Because it's one thing for you to share the information with your family, but why did you decide to tell all of Finland, even though it's a pretty small country, I guess?
Mm. because it all started out when I went public. I started to write articles for the local newspaper, and that was in 2009 when the swine flu hoax started. So I've been public for not for 17 years. I've been public, but for about.
But why would you write about that in the local paper? Are you a writer?
I've always been quite good at writing. Okay. And using my language. Yeah, and I saw the swine flu coming, and I knew that the vaccine would come very, very soon, and it did. And I knew all my friends would take this, and they mm-hmm. would put it in their children as well. And I just saw it as my duty to warn people.
Yeah.
And back in 2009, it was still possible to get in articles in the local newspaper, articles that were apparently critic to the vaccinations or warned about the vaccine dangers.
Yeah. So but the other thing is, just to interrupt. So your daughter, she recovered perfectly. You found out that they said it was tuberculosis. There was evidence of the tuberculosis bacteria. So you got probably just antibiotics, and she was clear. You didn't get any chemotherapy, which is also,
according to
my friend Northern Tracy, it's just a very intense antibiotic. That's what chemotherapy is. It just kills everything. So it's an extreme antibiotic. So you just got regular antibiotics. It cleared.
I didn't even get that.
So you didn't get that.
They didn't know what to do. Okay.
So they did nothing.
They did nothing. They said, we'll just wait and see what happens, because right. they took a biopsy from the tumor.
Right. And, which is all they know how to do. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And when they opened up this whole tumor, it seems like the body would take care of the whole tumor.
Lumps itself. And bumps. The body can take care of lumps and bumps. They eventually yes. go away. You don't have to do a damn thing. But the normal reaction one might have thought was, okay, you found out that you suspected that it was the vaccine that caused the tumor. Did you seek out other vaccine groups in Finland? Because the other thing is, you didn't really have a problem at the time. It's really interesting because you didn't have an injured child in the end.
Well, no, not in the end. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the whole experience was really frightening. We were in one of the biggest hospitals in Finland, and they told us that our daughter had aggressive cancer and that they would have to put chemotherapy in her. They actually, by surgery, put in
the IV.
Yeah.
Yeah, the IV.
They had done that, so she was ready for the chemotherapy.
Right.
And all this was so frightening to me. And so when I realized that this wouldn't have happened if I had the knowledge when she was newborn that the vaccinations are only bad for your children, I would never have had her vaccinated. So I just wanted to let other parents know before it was too late. For me, it was too late. The damage was already done.
Yeah. But you really didn't have, I don't want to minimize your daughter's injury, but you really didn't have an extreme case where now we see, I've interviewed many people, including Greg here in North America, and his two children were so badly damaged by vaccines. They are just off the charts, state dependent, and he's so worried when he dies, what's going to happen to his adult children now because they're so damaged. And you could just see how that guy, he really got smashed hard with the whole thing, with the whole vaccine damage. Like, you can just understand why he would do it. And he sought out other groups, and he got on the vaccine bus bandwagon, and he got really involved with some of the leading so-called anti-vaxxers in North America. And he just went down some terrible routes with these people. So that to me is the logical thing that I'm curious with you. Did you seek out other groups in Finland just to see what they had to say? Wouldn't that be logical?
Actually, I kind of created my own network, because mm-hmm. when I put articles in the newspaper, and they actually made an interview with me and my daughter who had tuberculosis mm-hmm. from the vaccination. And after that, my phone started ringing all mm-hmm. the time. People took contact. They wanted to discuss the vaccinations because they also had experienced that their children got damaged. And they wanted to discuss this with someone that understood them, because the doctors wouldn't acknowledge, the vaccine damages. So I was on the phone every day, several hours, and I had two small children. I was like, gosh, I don't have time with this, talking to one. And I realized I have to put us all together so we can all speak to each other. So I invited people to my house, because I took everybody's email address when they wanted to talk to me.
Yes.
And I sent out an invitation and I said, well, you're welcome to my house and we can all talk to each other instead of me being on the phone 8 hours a day.
Right.
Because I don't have time.
No.
And after like one day, I had to say, stop. My house can't take any more people. My house will be full now, so no more people can come. And they came about 2 weeks later, and this whole house was full of
people.
Is
that amazing? You became the leading expert in Finland, and you just accidentally, you really, nobody else was public enough to welcome others and start talking. So you became a lightning rod in Finland. That's crazy.
Well, kind of, yeah.
And on
this meeting, well, people had the most amazing stories to tell me about how their child lost their walking ability.
Right.
They had got like the MMR vaccination or something like
that.
So this whole concept grew bigger and bigger. And soon enough, there were like hundreds of people that wanted to discuss, come to my house
amazing?
And discuss. Yeah. So we had to hire some bigger spaces. And I also invited people with vaccine damaged children to talk about their special case.
Right.
So soon enough, this was like a lecture, but not a lecture about vaccine dangers.
It was a self-help group, a recovery group. Wow.
Exactly.
And again, you didn't really have an extreme example of vaccine damage. You had a trauma. You got over it. And I'm assuming your daughter is perfectly healthy today. Whereas you were probably attracting all kinds of really sad, terrible cases. And it probably made you feel even worse. It's thinking, oh my God, what have I got into?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
I had no idea when I started digging into this subject how sensitive it would be, and what how the authorities would react when you say that a vaccine can be dangerous. So anyhow, I remember one evening, we would still have this self-help group, and we had hired a place where it was a bit over 100 people that had told me that they would be coming, and they came. The place was crowded, and I had invited a speaker that had a child who had gotten paralyzed after the polio vaccination, and he would come there and speak. And just like 2-3 hours before the whole thing would start, he called me and said, Linda, I got sick. I can't come tonight. And I was like, oh my God, I have over 100 people coming to this occasion, and the head speaker is sick. What can I do? And I was like, okay, I need to do a presentation. So I really quickly, I put together a presentation, like a lecture about the dangers of vaccinations.
Uh-oh, Linda froze. Ooh. Okay. Martin, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, Linda froze there. Her network connection went to zero. But, wow, this is crazy. This is what a crazy story, huh?
Yeah. But if we can get her back,
she'll come back. I think she got frozen right at the beginning of the call and then just came back into the room. But she'll figure out that she's talking to a frozen wall in a minute. But how did you meet her? How did you find out?
She had been a guest on Föreningen Cui Bono, so she had one of those lectures for us. So that's how I got to know her.
But how did you come? Okay, but how did you find out about her? Is she just so public that it's easy to?
No, the ones who started Föreningen Cui Bono, they had invited her before, so I got to know her through Föreningen Cui Bono.
Do you have a copy of that book, by the way, Greg Beatty, A Vaccine Dilemma?
No, I don't think so.
If anyone has a copy, just go to FakeoTube and put a link in the chat or email me at ima@fakeologist.com. Like I said, I thought I read every book known to man, but apparently not. If you go to, well, actually, yeah, but, wait, it looks like a website. Here you go. Understanding the Vaccine Debate. Well, maybe there is a book. Ebook for immediate download. You got to pay for it, of course. That's fine. I don't mind paying, but there we go.
Okay.
Oh, you're back. Mm. How long did it take to figure out you were talking to the wall?
Oh, actually, pretty soon, because I got a warning sign that I have a bad connection.
Okay. Are you on Wi-Fi?
Actually, I have the, I'm not on Wi-Fi. No,
Oh, you're wired.
Cable.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm wired. Yeah.
You're wired, but you got just the bad connection.
Right.
Oh, okay, yeah, good.
It's a long way from Finland to Canada, you know.
No, I know. I sometimes Restream, I don't know, they have their own servers, and sometimes I just can't connect properly with people around the world. We end up on Skype or all kinds of other connections. So it's just my main connectivity to create these videos, because it creates a copy of the video. And if so, that way, if it doesn't save on my own platform, at least I have a backup copy. I record the audio anyway, and the audio to me is the most important. So I'm glad to hear that you figured it out and didn't waste too much time. But
yes.
I was just talking with Martin again. Martin is a good fallback. So the minute you kicked out, he kicked in. And
good. Yeah. Thank you, Martin. Thank you.
Martin is the best.
Yeah. Alberto, I really think you should spend the last 15 minutes to ask about the trickery that the Swedish state television.
I will do that. I'm going to do that. Okay, we can do that. It depends how much time you have. I mean, I could talk to Linda all day long. She's such an interesting speaker. So Linda, you tell me if you want to get this trap story in before everything else, but you can as well.
Sure. I can just sum it all up and then I come into the trap story. Mm-hmm. So anyhow, after this time when I had to jump in as a speaker, when this main speaker who had a paralyzed daughter got sick, I got a really positive feedback from the audience, and they said, well, Linda, you should do this. This is your thing. And I knew that I'm quite good at speaking well, you can imagine, because I speak all the time now, even though I'm speaking in English. So imagine when I'm doing it in my mother tongue.
Amazing. amazing.
It's like diarrhea from my mouth.
Wow.
So anyhow, I had been actually a teacher pretty much. I'm not a teacher. I haven't studied teaching, but I still can think in the terms of how a good teacher.
If you have children, you're a teacher.
Right.
That's it.
So
you don't need any certification.
Right. I started doing lectures after that. And pretty soon in Sweden, they took contact with these alternative sites. And also Cui Bono took contact and said, well, Linda, would you come to Sweden and do some lectures about the vaccinations? Because by then it was really hard to find someone who would do it in Swedish.
Mm.
And I said, yeah, sure, I'll come. So I did, and I also had a blog, and and people would take contact all the time from Sweden especially, and they also in the Swedish-speaking parts of Finland started to take contact and ask, will you come and do a lecture about the vaccine dangers? And so I did. And I never like, when you really go into the truth, you will never have a whole bunch of people listening to you or watching you, because we already talked about that. They do not want to hear the truth.
No.
Because it's very uncomfortable.
No, that's
so
right.
So I was like, the truth was most important to me, not how many viewers or how many people came, but the truth was in the main thing for me. So people would usually film my lectures. They would ask, like, is it okay if we make a film of this and put it out on the YouTube or internet? And I would say, yeah, sure. And through the years, I've been contacted by a lot of people who have wanted to talk to me or discuss things with me, maybe meet me. And I like talking to people in real life, so that has been no problem. So when I got a mail from a Swedish woman who lived in Germany, she said, she lived in Germany, and she said she was from Sweden, but she was married to a German guy, and they were about to move to Sweden, back to her homeland. And she had been in Germany in contact with a group that was very restricted with vaccinations, and she was aware of the dangers, and she just wanted to get in touch with someone in Sweden that had the same knowledge that she did. And she asked me just kindly to put her together with someone in Sweden and in the south of Sweden where she was going to live with her family. And so anyhow, yes, yeah, sure, no problem. And she asked, are you going to have a lecture soon? And I said, well, yeah, I will go to Sweden in a couple of weeks to have a lecture in Gothenburg. And she said, well, I will come to Sweden because I had to come there anyway to prepare our move to Sweden. So I will come there. And she did, and she was really nice. And later on, she thanked me, of course, for the evening. She came with us on a dinner afterwards, and it was a lecture. This was a lecture that Qui Bono had arranged. So she came with us to a restaurant afterwards, and we were talking about the 9/11, and there were no planes and so on. We talked about quite a lot of things, and she was really fascinated. And then a couple of, maybe a month went by, and another lady called me, or she's not even worth calling a lady, but a woman called me, and she said, well, this mother from Germany that is going to move back from Sweden, you know, you have been in contact with her. I have met her because I was on your lecture as well, she said, and we talked to each other, and I decided that I wanted to make a YouTube documentary about her moving to Sweden with her family and her connecting with other vaccine critics and
right.
And her finding out the truth about vaccinations. And can we please get an interview with you, Linda, because you know so much about vaccinations? And I was like, and I said, well, that's weird, because if you're gonna come to Finland to interview me, that's going to cost you a lot of money. So where do you get or your financial resources?
Wow, you're suspicious already, huh? Good
for
you.
Yeah. And she said, well, someone close to me died and I got, what do you call that in English when you get money from someone that
inheritance.
Dies? Right.
Yeah.
That is, yeah. So she said she had some inheritance and she would use them. And I was like, okay. And you know, when you talk about inheritance, you know, someone close has died, and then you don't want to ask anymore by then, because you know, it might be a sensitive subject. So I was like, well, okay. So yeah, and she seemed really nice, and this German Swedish woman had seemed really nice. So I was like, yeah, sure.
But were you just to pause there? Were you already realizing that you were speaking about something that was very controversial? And did you already think that you must be on a target list because you're eloquent, you're attractive, you can hold an audience? So you must have known that you're a target.
I did. Yeah. I did, because this is not a long time ago. This was in 2019.
Right.
And they had
this big operation thing called COVID. I mean, you're kind of screwing things up when you're talking like this. And And I'm sure, like myself, you probably had no idea the scale and the size of this COVID operation. This was not just some, let's get a couple of vaccines into arms. This is a worldwide revolution we're in the middle of. So right. Someone like you is extremely inconvenient, to say the least.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Not that they would stop with one person. They're not going to stop with an army of Lindas, but still.
No, but still, I was a good target for the Swedish-speaking public, like both Finland, part of Finland, Sweden, and also actually Norway, because I've been to Norway as to Oslo as well.
I'm looking at the map because I'm so ignorant of geography, but man, everything is so close.
You can see the Nordic countries right
I'm
there.
Looking at it when you talk. So everything is so close.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, they came to Finland, these two women, and we had a very good time and we got acquainted. And, of course they did an interview with me. So they had a camera and they would ask me about the vaccination dangers and I would tell them what I knew and I would show them some studies and all this kind of stuff. They would actually come to my lectures and they would, film my lectures, so they would have interest. They would have interesting points from my lectures to show in this YouTube documentary. And soon enough, I started thinking like, wow, how many times are we going to meet? Because they kept calling me like, oh, Linda, can we meet you again? Can we meet you again? You're such an interesting person, and so many people are talking about you. And I was like, how much money do they really have?
Are they gonna? Are they paying you? I mean,
no, they weren't paying me, of course.
Well, you should have said, listen, you got to talk to my agent at this point. You need an agent no more phone calls. Talk to my agent because this is turning into a whole job and I have a life. Yeah.
Yeah. I was really thinking like, I don't have time with this. I have 5 children. I have a house. I have a garden. I can't meet these girls or women all the time just because they would say, oh, last time we had a bad sound, so we need to redo this and this. And that time we had a really bad light, so we need to redo this and
bunch
this.
Bunch of idiots. And this was state television, Swedish state television?
Well, no, I had no idea. It turned out being.
Or they were going to sell it. They were independent. They were going to sell it to the...
No, they weren't independent.
Oh, they weren't.
They were from the state.
They were state.
I had no idea.
But you didn't know. Okay. And they didn't identify themselves.
They had fake names.
Wow.
Fake names.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay. That's entrapment.
Every time we met about 10 times. Every time they would prepare some dinner or, coffee and some good stuff. And they would say, oh, please, Linda, we have made some dinner for you. Come and sit down and have a chat.
What did your husband think about all this?
Well, I've been out doing lectures on vaccinations so much. So he's used to me being away from the children and from the house for a couple of days every now and then.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So this was just the same thing for him. Lectures or giving some interviews, same for him.
Is he totally supportive of you doing all this, or is he is he maybe tired of this whole?
He's kind of tired. Yeah. He's not very supportive. It's hard, tough on him being at home alone with 5 children and a job to do. And,
yeah, I guess so.
I've always been a home mom. So my work is to stay at home and, make the dinner. And
does he ever say, Linda, just calm down. You're not going to change the world.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So
that's fair.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Of course it is fair.
That's fair.
So back to these
women
now. Well, so this kept on for 1.5 years, actually.
Whoa.
I was meeting them. They came here to Finland, or we would meet in Sweden. And they had a whole bunch of questions. And I was like, how many times are we going to meet? And they would say, well, we need just this and this. And then it'll all come down into...
Now, let me interrupt again. Did you really think they were going to help you? Is that why you were motivated? Because why would you do... You figured they're going to blow this whole thing up and you're going to be a star and you're going to be this whistleblower. Edward Snowden of Helsinki.
Really think I would be, no, I wouldn't really think I would be a star or a whistleblower, because that is not my, that is not,
that's that your, is not, not your personality.
Me.
Yeah. You're
well,
humble.
I just want to get the truth out.
Right.
And I thought this would help me get the truth mm-hmm. out. There are lots of YouTube documentaries, but still, you know, if I would be in a YouTube documentary, I would reach out to some people in Finland and in Sweden that watch this just because they maybe know someone who knows me. So you always get some more people to get interested if you, even though there are hundreds of YouTube documentaries, there are no YouTube documentaries with me. So I thought, well, maybe this will help the truth a little bit. Yeah. So I never like, oh, I'm going to be a star. That is not interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyhow, so time went by and we had the corona thing and we couldn't meet up for a long time and they were really nervous about this. So they came to Finland in the middle of the corona and we would meet up in their Airbnb. They always had Airbnbs. They always wanted me to come there and now I realize why. So, and they wanted me to sit on a chair in front of the camera immediately when I came into their apartment. And this was strange because always when I met them, they would be like, oh, hi, let's have some coffee, sit down. So nice to see you again. And what has happened since we met the last time, you know? But now I came into the apartment and they were like, oh, you can sit there. We're going to ask you some questions. And I was like, okay, that's kind of weird.
Were you ever suspicious? Ever?
No.
Okay, not really, even once.
Never.
And you had no one with you, your husband, your friend, nobody was on, you just were always in this group that were sort of attacking you in a very passive way. Really? Wow.
Yes, actually. So I was sitting there on a chair and she started asking me like weird questions. Like, do you realize you're responsible for children dying of measles?
Oh my God.
And I was like, what? And she would attack me and she became really aggressive. And now I'm talking about this German Swedish mom. Mm. And then I took off my microphone and I just threw it on the floor and I said, what are you doing? What is this? What are these questions? And she said, haha, my name is not Carolina and I am an undercover journalist from the Swedish state television. And
wow,
we all are. And we have been using hidden cameras and hidden microphones during all our meetings during this whole 18 or 19.
Uh-oh. You just froze there. Oh, right when it got good, eh? Jeez. I wonder if there's any level of entrapment. Because it's very underhanded, very disgusting. Do you have these entrapment or investigative TV shows in Sweden? Are these a normal? Is this a known group? Like for instance, 60 Minutes was the big one in America where Mike Wallace would go investigate the guy stealing money with used cars and then he would track the guy down. Is this a known group in Sweden?
You mean the television show?
No, yeah.
They've done some other productions, I think, but this was a three-part documentary that was shown once. So,
She's back. Yes. But what I was asking, Linda, while you were away, I don't like to talk behind anyone's back, but I had to talk about something. Do you have TV shows in Finland or Sweden where they do these kind of, it's called gotcha journalism. For instance, the most famous guy that I can think of in America is Mike Wallace from 60 Minutes, where he would go catch the guy that was ripping people off selling cars or that was knowingly with the tobacco lobby lying in front of Congress to sell cigarettes. These are known. We love this kind of media over here, or at least we used to, because we always thought, oh, the media is on our side. They're going to catch the bad guys. They're going to catch the corporate crooks. They're going to catch the government guy that's stealing. But little, of course, that most of us media fakery people know. That the media is the bloody, they're the ones that are complicit in the whole thing. So they're not on our side. So do they, were you aware of that kind of media in Sweden or Finland? Did it exist before?
Yes. Yes, it does exist and it's very popular.
Okay.
So, yeah. But as I told you, I was never suspicious during this whole 1.5 years that we were meeting.
Not a bit, huh?
Doing these interviews. So not you, a bit.
Because
actually,
you know,
I was too naive.
The enemy is so huge and there's so much money. This is just, this is crazy. So you weren't suspicious.
Part of the reason I wasn't suspicious is that I myself would never ever be able to trick and lie at someone like they did.
Yeah.
So if you are not able yourself to think that, oh, I can trick someone into this, I can lie to someone about this, then you do not usually think that people that you're facing and spending time with.
I guess that's just naivety, as we say. Is there a word for it?
It's the right word.
Yeah, naivete.
So,
I'm not saying I'd be any different. I probably would be the same way. I'm so cynical now. I don't trust anyone. I like you, but I don't know you. And I like Martin, but I just don't trust anyone. I know everyone is just got some agenda somewhere, for God's sakes. It's terrible what we've done to humanity.
Yeah, and this was, of course, a lesson to me as well. Now I know that you cannot trust anyone. Trust no one but yourself.
Yeah.
So
you threw the microphone on the floor. That's when you froze. That's when you froze there last.
Okay, so I threw the mic on the floor, and I would go to the door to just leave the apartment because I just had to get out of there.
Right.
Three enemies just following me with mics and cameras and shouting at me that they have everything on tape and film. They have used hidden cameras all the time during all our meetings, and they will put it all on the Swedish state television. They were really aggressive, and I thought I was going to faint.
Wow.
My pulse, my heart rate. I had to get out of there, and I got out of there, and I took my car, and I drove home, and I have driven that way from this near town nearby into my home village like 1 million times, and I actually got lost.
Wow, you were just so disoriented, so you were so aggravated.
Yes, I was.
Did you contact a lawyer? Is there any?
Yes.
Okay, so there's some entrapment going on.
Yes. I will be. I have sued them, so they will be in court in February next year.
Mm.
That is when it's going to take place in Stockholm, because they are under Swedish law, because it's the Swedish state television. So I have to go to. I have a Swedish lawyer. He's the best.
Is there a law that do you think was broken or no? Because
yes, the European Convention. The European Convention about your right being private, your right to private life. Because during our meetings, they would ask me questions about a whole bunch of other things than vaccinations. And these questions they would only ask when we were sitting around the coffee table or the dinner table, you know, in a relaxed environment, no cameras. So, and one of the things they would ask me about was, of course, the Holocaust.
How did that come up? Because that is such a non-related issue.
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
How did they crowbar that one in? Like, what are some of the things they talk about? How did they lead up to that one?
Actually, it was me talking about something that you call, Martin, help me, åsiktskorridor. What would that
be? I don't know either.
Well, you know, like...
Come on, Martin. You're the translator here. Let's go. We only ask you a few questions.
well, you know, like the really narrow hallway that you're supposed to walk through when you live, and you are not supposed to look to one side or the other, because then...
You're focused.
Then you're just... Yeah. Well, you know, all the people are like sheep. They're just walking
blinders.
This way.
They're called blinders. We put blinders on a horse so they don't get distracted. They just go straight. Blinkers, blinders.
Okay, so I would talk about this and I would say to them, like off camera, I would say, there are a lot of doors leading out of this path, this main path. And you can read, you can see different labels on the doors, like the banking system.
Right.
The NASA fake re.
Right. Or you, 9/11. The Hollywood, JFK. 9/11.
Right. And then I said, stupidly enough, I said a Holocaust. I just mentioned like that.
Right.
So that put them into the Holocaust. And they would, this mom that was so, you know, the German Swedish one, she would take me out on a cafe, just her and I, and we would talk about this. And she said, well, tell me what you know. And I said, well, I don't know that much, but I watched a documentary. And I talked, about 1 minute, I told her about the documentary, like what we know and are being taught in school is so wrong, because there were never 6 million that were killed. The gas chambers didn't even exist, only for gassing like lice in their clothes and stuff like that. I just, like for 30 seconds or a little bit more, I was telling her what I had been taught in the documentary that I had been watching. This is all. Okay. This is the only thing people were talking about afterwards. This was sent in the state television. They put it into three chapters. It was called The Vaccine Warriors. Everybody thought that this would be about vaccinations, but actually, they used nothing of me being interviewed in front of their camera when I was talking about the vaccine dangers, but they used, other stuff. And of course, they used this scenery in the cafe that she had been filming with a hidden camera all the time when I was talking about this documentary about the so-called Holocaust. It took about 1 minute, 3 hours long in three chapters, 1 hour, 1 hour, 1 hour. We had this 1 minute in the last chapter. That is everything. The newspapers in Sweden went crazy. The newspapers in the Swedish-speaking part of Finland went crazy. And everywhere it was, this mother is an, how do you say, anti-Semite?
Anti-Semite, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anti-Semite. I just lost my credibility everywhere because I have been a gymnastics coach for all my life. I'm a former competing gymnast myself, and I had a lot of small gymnasts that I had been
coaching. Oh, is that right?
For a long
time. Well, yeah. You like Nadia Comaneci and Olga Korbut? Remember those?
Yeah, exactly. That is artistic gymnastics, and that is.
I love that. Oh my God, I'm old enough too. I'm probably older than you. Yeah, Nadia Comaneci or Comaneci.
Right,
oh my God.
I just, yeah.
Everyone was in love with her in the whole world.
Yeah, me too. I was in love with her too.
Oh my goodness.
So, but I lost everything. I wasn't allowed anymore to be a gymnastics coach, but because now I was considered a danger to the children.
Right.
Because for this God, 1 minute,
amazing.
That was, yeah. Yeah. And I mean, what has this got to do with my ability to teach gymnasts how to do gymnastics?
Oh, you're just a danger. You're just a danger to society. Yeah. I call it the third rail. We have, subways in Toronto where we have the two rails for the subway, and the third rail is the electricity. We call it the third rail. If you touch the third rail when you cross the tracks, you'll get electrocuted in many modern subways, including Toronto. So you touch the third rail, and they laid it out for you. They took you to the third rail, and they just said, just sit here for a sec, and next thing you know, you're fried. So for sure, it's even if you, it doesn't matter what you think of what happened in World War II, they have laid a trap that is worldwide. And if you if you touch it, they can fry you. And, honestly, like I had Monica Schaefer on last week, who's a Canadian, lovely woman. And for me, I don't want to get into the debate because I have other views, but, and I don't want to, now that it may have passed in Canada as a law where you're not allowed to minimize anything to do with that topic. I'm not gonna risk it, which is, to me, it's insane in a free country that you can't talk about anything like that. That's my main point. I'm disgusted living in a country, any country, where you cannot talk about any particular topic. I don't care how egregious and awful and distasteful and how uncomfortable it makes people feel. Either have free speech or you're not, or you don't. You can't be a little bit pregnant. And it's the same thing with free speech. You either have it or you don't. So if we're going to start making a list of all the things we can't talk about, then we may as well just forget about free speech. And that's really how I look at it. But yeah, it does make the whole topic way more interesting, because as you tell any child, I'm sure you know, as a mother of five, you tell a child they can't do something and you just shoot the interest right through the roof. All of a sudden, oh, now mom doesn't want me to do this. Why? Now this is fascinating. And I'll get into trouble if I bring it up. Oh, this is great. So I really think it's a stupid move. It's going to backfire in the end for the controllers. Yeah. But honestly, we have one of the most famous cases about talking about this topic. I don't even like to use the word. They've just wrecked the whole the language around us. I'm not going to use any of that, but I'm going to say that it did pique my interest. It didn't interest me in the 80s, but this guy named Ernst Zundel, a German who was in Canada that did not get a citizenship, that was deported and eventually died in Germany. I tell you, it made me actually sit through 16 hours of his talks, because what he was talking about and why he was silenced, again, not an interesting story to me, but when he told and read some books about German history that there is no way I would have ever heard of, and what America and Britain did to Germany, understandably, I understand why they did it. It's all money, economics. But I would never, ever, ever have listened to 16 hours of a guy read a book called Germany Must Perish and Gruesome Harvest, two really interesting books where the West plotted to destroy Germany. Now, again, that's knowledge I never heard of, but thanks to this thing we're not supposed to talk about, it just triggered me to figure out, okay, what the hell are they hiding? What is the big story? And guess what? The thing that you got into trouble with, that's not the real story. That's not what they're really don't want you looking into. I think what Ernst Zundel's talking about, which he didn't go to jail for, but that is the real story. How the organized, methodical destruction of Germany, the biggest country, most successful country probably in the history of Europe, that is the real story. And Germans today don't even know their own story. And to me, so we don't have to talk about the thing that we're not supposed to talk about. I'm fine with that. I don't care about that story. I care about what really happened in World War II and what they have done and continue to do to this day. Now, until they make that illegal, which that'll probably be next, what really happened to Germany, that's what's fascinating. Sorry, that's a long-winded way of describing and going around the topic.
No, but it's fine. And actually, what happened is just what you described. For myself, I started digging into this after this whole so-called documentary. I mean, it was not a documentary. It was only live.
It was a hit piece. We call it a hit piece. It's a hit piece. Okay. A hit piece is where they're trying to destroy, assassinate your character. So therefore, anything you say, we discard. And of course, it backfired again, because now you're talking to me. Now I'm just one person with a few thousand views here and there, but you know, you would have never come on my radar, even because there are hundreds of vaccine damaged parents out there talking. So you're one of many, but your whole story, because I'm a friend of Martin's, and then they decided to character assassinate you, because they can't attack you with truth. They can only attack you with smearing. And now you're on my radar and you're talking to me and my audience. So now we know the dirty trick they're using to assassinate your character. But,
Yes. And, a lot of people have also told me afterwards that, oh, I never understood that there is something, some fakery around this World War II and what really happened. So now you really caught my interest, Linda. I'm going to dig into this and look what it's all about. And, yeah. And this is what happens when the authorities tell you that you are not allowed to look into this, or you are not allowed to discuss this or say this and this. So, I mean, there are no bad commercial. All commercial is good commercial. And,
yeah, I agree. There's no bad publicity.
Yeah, right.
I agree. So, I agree totally, 100%. I really, if history, if I learn history as I believe it is to be true today, I would have stayed, I would have become a history major. Canadian history is probably the most boring history in the history of the world. We're a very young nation. You know, it's a bunch of British. They terrorized some Native Indians, and that's it. The French and the English fought over some of the crappy land we have over here. That's it. The most boring history in the history of the world. I could not stay awake in Canadian history. But if I knew the actual behind the scenes, how Canada was formed, the British, Germany, the people that I tell you, it's so fascinating, the real history, that I would have been a history professor at this point. And I really enjoy it because it is the people that control the world. Man, they are some really great chess players. They know what they're doing. It is fascinating.
Yeah. You have like the information arena and you have the real world, and what you're being served in school, that is only like you're being in this information arena, but it has nothing to do with the real world.
No.
Where we're actually living. So, but the problem is that if a teacher starts to teach about the real world, she or he will be fired because right. they are not allowed.
Right. Cause it's not the boring, don't pay attention to this narrative. Most of the things we're taught are extremely boring, keep us really stupid. And that's how you would want your farm animals. You don't want your animals to ask the farmer, hey, why are we getting so fat now? You keep telling us we're going on vacation at the end of the year. Where are we going anyway? You don't want your animals asking questions because you know they won't like the answer.
Right.
Oh, my exactly. God.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, I would have to start leaving because I have to pick up my daughter that has gotten well after her vaccine damage, and she's now almost a grown-up working.
Good for you.
Well,
we've been going an hour and 20 minutes. Yeah, we kept you much longer than we booked, but... I would certainly have you back anytime if you wanted to keep talking, because the vaccine story is never going away.
No,
unfortunately,
it's not. Even though I think that this whole COVID-19 thing has been like an alarm clock for a lot of people. A lot of people has gotten suspicious after this vaccine drive because they're noticing, okay, so we got these 2, 3, or 4 shots and we still have to use masks. We will still get COVID-19. We still have to have social distance. So what's the point of getting vaccinated? So
Before you run away, how are you and your family functioning? I won't even ask if you've been injected or considering injecting, but how is this affecting your children? Because obviously they're being singled out. They're going to be persecuted for not getting the injection. How has it been in Helsinki? Can you get on a train? I know Canada is one of the worst places when it comes to segregation of those that are getting the injection and those are not. But how are you withstanding? How are you holding out against the propaganda, you and your family?
Pretty good, actually. We've been able to do all the things you normally do, even though we aren't injected. During 1 month only, I was not allowed to go into or anyone that was not injected with this mRNA so-called vaccine was not allowed to go into public. I into public, what do you call, public spaces.
Right, including the grocery store?
Well, I could go to the grocery store, but I couldn't go like doing a workout in the in the gym hall or something like that. I could go to the library. I was allowed to that, but
it got so bad in Quebec, which is one of the most fascist provinces in Canada. If you went to a Walmart, I'm sure you know what a Walmart is.
Yes.
During the height of the insanity, if you wanted to go into the Walmart, you would only be allowed to go to the grocery part, and they had to escort you. So you went into the Walmart and stepped in a booth where you were escorted to the grocery part. So you were singled out walking in, and then somebody had to escort you so you didn't walk maybe past the non-food area where you might actually grab, say, some clothing or something. How segregationist and how absolutely authoritarian is that? That was the worst.
Sick.
That is sick.
That is totally sick.
Yeah, that was Quebec. Congratulations, Quebec.
We didn't have anything like that here in Finland. We passed it through very well, actually, here. And the masks have only been a recommendation,
right.
Never a must. So I've never worn a mask, and I would never ever do either. And my children didn't have to wear them at school, even though it was a strong recommendation. So everybody else was, of course, putting their masks on, but not my children, because I taught them what I know.
Yeah.
So we came through pretty easily, but we shouldn't.
It's not over yet.
It's all over.
No, I know.
No, it's not over yet.
Well, would you come back to the show sometime?
Sure, if you want me on. No problem.
No, I think it's great. Where can I guess you're not recommending people watch the documentary.
No, I'm not recommending them watching. And it's in Swedish. It's in Swedish, so it's kind of hard to understand if you're not able to understand it, Swedish. But I do not even want people to watch it, because that will give them credit. You know, for every click you try to find this documentary, it's still like it's still commercial for this totally sick documentary. But I can of course send you, but I think you have to be living in Sweden to be able to watch it, because it's the Swedish state television that has put it out on their platform. And so I can't watch it from Finland, but someone put it on BitChute. So you will be able to find it on BitChute. So I can of course send you the links, but I will have to do this,
Yeah, send me the links to that book. Yeah. Send me, I doubt I'll probably watch it, because I don't really like subtitles too much. I don't have time to sit down. I usually listen to audios as I'm driving. So I probably won't listen to it, but did you get any support for your position? For instance, most people must have realized they were trapping you. They were in character assassinating you. Did you get any support saying, listen, that's disgusting what they did?
Yes, yeah. I did a lot.
That's
totally
good.
A lot. And my network with friends actually grew, because a lot of people contacted me afterwards. They wanted to show their support, and they wanted to tell me that keep doing what you're doing, Linda. It's a good thing. So I have gotten a lot of new friends after this documentary went out. And I also, some so-called friends went out of my network, because they turned out not to be my friends, because they were talking shit behind my back on social media.
Right.
So, bye-bye. I don't need you anymore.
No.
So, both qualitatively and
quantitative. You speak perfectly. Quantitative and qualitative. Yes perfect.
Yeah. My network has grown in both ways afterwards. So, actually, well, thank you, Swedish state television, I have to say, because now when time has gone by, I can say that I wouldn't want to be without this experience, because it has taught me a lot. But about 6 months afterwards, I just was desperately looking for the undo button. You know, how can I get this undone? I don't want this to have happened. It was painful, about 6 months. But then I started working with my lawyer, and he helped me a lot. So I realized that, okay, so the fault is not mine. I even have the law on my side. And so I got through this period of just being desperate, looking for the undo button, and kind of came to peace with what had happened and realized, okay, so the universe will show me that there was something good coming out of this, and there will be something good coming out of this. I mean, just my experience is good. So,
but the documentary is still out there, is it?
Yeah, it's still out there. Yeah.
So what do you want? I'm guessing you can maybe sue them for defamation if there's such a thing in Sweden.
I can sue them for the European Convention laws. Mm. Like, I have a right to private life. Mm-hmm. So they have no right to use a hidden camera talking to me about stuff that I never chose to be public about.
That right. The whole thing. But can you get money? Yeah. What can you get? What is ultimately?
That is what I want to get some money for them mm-hmm. doing damage to me. It's just a small sum. It's not because of the money I'm doing.
No, I know that, but you're going to end up paying your lawyer anyway. How do you pay your lawyer for all this?
If we win, I will not end up paying him mm-hmm. because they will have to pay him. But if we lose, yeah, there will be a financial problem. So I've started a foundation, actually.
Oh, okay.
Foundation. So people can donate money to the Freedom Foundation that will help me pay my lawyer if we, God forbid, would.
Well, he needs to be paid now. And then at the end, obviously, they can refund or whatever that happens with the money. But right now, I'm sure he needs money to keep going. Obviously, that's not much you can do about that.
I have some, of course, I have some insurance money as well, because if you have an insurance, a regular insurance, we call it a home insurance here in Finland.
They pay for lawyers? Also,
it pays for lawyers up to a certain sum.
Wow.
Just a small sum, but still.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. But if people want to support you, they could support you through a foundation.
They can support me through the Freedom Foundation, but the site is not up yet because we're still working on some details with the foundation. So pretty soon, in a month or so, we will go official with the Freedom Foundation.
Okay. All right. Well, that's cool. Maybe we should have you back in a month or so. I try and keep in touch with Patrick and Martin once a month. It's just sort of something I've decided to do, just have a regular appointment every month, because there's so much to talk about no matter what. If we just keep an appointment, it just makes things more routine and regular. So, but if we could tell the rest of your story or more of your story, it's pretty fascinating. And you're very super well spoken. And I wish I could speak Swedish and Finnish.
I don't know about that one.
I wish I could speak your language like you speak English, but that's one of the blessings of being a European. You guys can always speak so many languages, so it's kind of cool. Not us people over here.
It's always good to know languages, of course.
Yeah. All right. Well, go ahead, Martin.
Should we let Linda go now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's been so gracious. Go get your daughter. But thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on. And thank you to all the listeners that have listened so far.
I will send you links. And, I have your email. You send me, if you can send me the book and whatever else you want to send me. And I'll send you a link to the show. Hopefully you can post it wherever you post your stuff.
Great. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I will do this probably tomorrow morning, because I don't have time anymore.
Yeah, of course.
Tonight.
It's late. All right. Nice to talk to you.
Take care.
Okay, take care, Linda Kallström.
Bye-bye, Martin.
Bye, Linda.
Bye-bye. Bye. So we'll leave Martin on. Martin, how much time do you got left? We've been going about an hour and a half, which is fantastic. But how much?
Yeah, I still have time. Maybe we can go
another half an hour? 20. Okay, 20 minutes? Yeah, and then I can go to the beach.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow, what an interesting story. Wow.
Yeah, really. So and that's why I thought I should invite her to your show.
That's great.
We could get out in to an international public, because now it's almost only Swedish audience that know about this story.
How long ago did this happen? I didn't even ask.
I think the documentary came out in 2020, in December.
Oh, it's getting old now.
Yeah, and it was, the timing was, so it was just when the first vaccination should start here in Sweden. So they released this documentary about Linda. And that's if you are against vaccines, you can get those parallels to that you're also a Holocaust denier.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
almost the worst thing you can be here in Sweden. And it's also very hard connected to from the media, say right-wing extremists, that they think it's only Nazis that that think that the Holocaust didn't happen. That's the official story. But now more and more people that don't have this view of the world, they also see that there's nothing to this story about the Holocaust.
Well, I look at it, I'm not going to say anything about the H word because I think it's a law here now. I don't really like to capitulate, but on the other hand, I think it's completely unnecessary to fall into their trap. I think the real story is, as I was saying to Linda, is what did happen? What did the West do to Germany? That's the big story. Because if we keep talking about what they want to talk about, or, well, now they say we can't talk about it, then we're missing the real story, is what happened to Germany. That's far more interesting a story. And as far as I know, it's still allowable anywhere in the world, including Germany, to talk about what the West did to Germany. And I don't know, have you looked at the Fakeologist forums? And I have a section called Revisionism. And well, hopefully you can look at that, where we talk about the Ernst Zundel trial. And in the Ernst Zundel section, I have a 16-hour television series that he did, where he talks about two books. One's called Gruesome Harvest, and one is called Germany Must Perish. And really just outlines the West's plan to just genocide Germans. It's crazy.
Mm.
Like, where have you ever heard that story? I never heard of that. Have you ever heard of that?
I've heard of it.
Oh, you knew of that?
A little bit before.
I had never, ever, ever, ever heard about it. I put it under the section German Holocaust books, like the German Holocaust. I'm talking about where they literally lit Germans on fire after the war was pretty much over and burned their cities to the ground. That is the definition of a Holocaust. So the German Holocaust, I've never heard of it. Never had any knowledge of it. And here is 16 hours of him just talking about this book. And it's pretty dry, but he's just trying to get his story out when it's only the official story that we're told we can't even question. But I think that's a total red herring. It's a total red herring. In other words, you're led to that story like a moth is led by a light over there. And then once you get over there, they zap you. So if you say anything, and they literally put the words in your mouth that you're not supposed to say. Like you are so set up by these people. It's unbelievable. But if you just talk about what was written and what is out there, like two books, Germany Must Perish and Gruesome Harvest, and Germany is Our Problem, Germany Must Perish, The Forrestal Diaries, Gruesome Harvest, Other Losses, Crimes and Mercies. If you just talk about this in Darkest Germany, you are going to learn about a history that you wonder, well, how the heck did we miss all this? And of course, it explains why is Germany like Germany is today. Here's the reason why. This is the setup.
Yeah.
And don't even talk about the thing you're not supposed to talk about, because you know what? It is so far away from the important stuff. This is the most important stuff about World War II in Germany. And I've talked to Germans. They've never heard of half this stuff. How crazy is that?
I know. They learned in school to be ashamed of their history and their grandparents and why didn't they do something and so on. And then in the end, it was the Germans that were slaughtered. Have you heard about the Eisenhower death camps where they just fenced in?
That's what he's talking about. That's what he's talking about. If you want to listen to 16 hours, just listen to this. I mean, it's not highly produced. It's just Ernst reading.
I'm Ernst Dündel with another Voice of Freedom program coming to you from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. We're going to begin a series of very serious programs. People have said, Ernst Dündel, you're doing honor to your name again, which is Ernest in English. In other words, the serious one.
One thing I like about Ernst is he was a bit of a producer. He actually mic'd himself where the sound is really good. You don't need to watch this. Just put it on your pod player and listen to the audio. It's 16 hours. It's very dry. He's reading books that you've never heard of before. And when I watched Ernst give his last public appearance in Mexico, it really got to me. And really, basically, he was just saying he just wants Germans to know that they are not this awful group of people. And I think one of the reasons I looked into this is because of your interview with Lady Michelle Renouf. Actually, she's one person that went and met Ernst when he came out of prison, because nobody cared about Ernst. He was just considered a quack and a crackpot. But she obviously looked into it during the time, and it was pretty touching. Did you see this thing where she went to meet him?
Yeah, I did.
So you saw all this. So that's why I'm grateful for your interview, because you did a really good interview with her, you and Patrick. So
thank you. She's really good to keep talking. And she's got so much on her heart to tell us. So, and I met her in person in Stockholm in 2018. So
It was a...
She made an impression, so I remember her.
Mm-hmm. So it's something you're quite familiar with, I believe. It's something you're very familiar with, this whole story.
Mm.
This revisionism.
But as I keep looking into it, I think the core is to understand what's written in the Talmud. That's the religious writing books of the Jews. And what those texts are saying about people that they define are non-Jews. They are Gentiles and Goyim.
Right.
And that they should be their slaves, and they are not worth anything. They're worth less than cattle. And if you can kill them and get away with it, you should do it. It's your duty to do it.
Yeah.
And if you could put that together with all the power that they have, with the banks and media and so on. So they basically run all the society. And this corona vaccine campaign, it's a people reduction campaign.
But I think you're giving, again, it may appear that the Jews are in control, but in fact, there is a large power structure that is at least working with them, if not above them. So... all the houses of Europe did not go away overnight, and those are the names that you don't want. They don't want out there, the black nobility and all those names. So they've set up an infrastructure, so they're hidden.
It might be so, but that's the top layer that we can see and touch.
Yeah, but that's on purpose, though. If you were running the place, I don't think you'd want your name being on the headlines, like where we're told that.
No one have gotten into the track, the truth of who runs.
Well, there are lots of people that talk about it, but it's definitely not emphasized. And when you're finding out who are they, you know, when we're told that Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, Jeff Bezos are the richest people in the world, nothing could be farther from the truth. Those guys are just middle management. So,
yeah, I know.
But if you ask the average person on the street, that's who they tell you. But of course, those are the names that people are given. Or when they say, oh, who's in charge of this bank and that bank? Yeah, okay. Those are the people that are promoted, but they're not the people that own everything. They're not the quadrillionaires. They're the ones that are promoted, so you don't pay attention to who is in charge. That's all. So what have you guys been up to in the last month or so?
Well, we have had a vacation, so I've been away for a couple of weeks from my home.
Where do people in Sweden go when they go away?
Mostly they go abroad, but this those corona vacations we had, it has been in Sweden since I think you can start to go abroad, but you don't know if you have the right certification to get into the country.
Right.
Or if they are getting changed, or if you have to have a face diaper on the public transport when you arrive, and so on. So it's, I think it's not worth going abroad until those restrictions are gone, and you can be sure that you can go there without getting terrorized by the nation's state where you are going.
But nobody's gone. So people aren't really traveling around Europe, really?
Many are traveling since a greater part of the Swedish population is actually vaccinated against COVID-19. So then they get this certificate that they are vaccinated and they can go abroad with this. But we that don't take this vaccine, we have a little bit harder time to move around, at least going abroad.
Right. So you just stayed put in Sweden then, you and Patrick?
Yeah. Sweden, it's quite a big country. We have many lakes and forests and you can go south to Skåne and there is much farmland, but in the north you have a lot of mountains and rivers and you can actually see very much things without going abroad. So
can you drive right around the Gulf of Bothnia? Is it Bothnia or Bothnia? The big water in between Sweden and Finland?
Yeah, you can go around. But if you're in Stockholm, you go by boat over to Finland. Most of the time.
Is that something Swedish people do? Is there anything?
Yeah,
they do that?
Maybe you have an international audience, and we have a case here in Sweden that we don't know for sure what really happened. That is the ferry Estonia that sank in September in 1994. And then 852 people should allegedly have lost their lives. But I'm not really sure if it's a real event or if people didn't die. And if we could get some researchers to take a look at it and see how it could be.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know about the Estonia incident?
I sort of remember, was it called the Estonia, the boat?
Yeah, it was called Estonia.
Was it on Clues Forum, the story?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
But it was called the Estonian. I'll take a look. All right. I just sort of remember it, but now I don't see anything here. No, not really. I just remember a fairy. Fairy thinking. Oh, okay. I'm confusing it with the Costa Concordia. That was something else.
Yeah.
That's not the one. That's from 1994. Oh, that wasn't from 2014. That was from 2012. Remember that
2012,
one?
2012, yeah. Yeah, I remember it.
Mm-hmm.
But there were not so many people that allegedly died in Costa Concordia, I think.
Oh, right. And Simon says here, Haiwa, who was from somewhere up there in Scandinavia, said he had made a post on January 11, 2012 about the Estonia incident of 1994. Mm-hmm. So that's what you're talking about. Let's see if I can find that. Okay, Haiwa.
Hmm.
Okay, so Haiwa was talking about that. Back in the day. Of course, now I can't find the damn thing. Okay. I can't find it. Let's just see here. Their search sucks. Okay. I got the search results, but it doesn't come up. Topic. It's disappeared. It's strange.
Mm-hmm.
So Haiwa, he was a regular contributor over. Okay, I see. Haiwa, here it is here. The MS Estonia accident investigation, 1994, 1997, 2022. The biggest fraud in maritime history. Anders Bjorkman. I wonder what happened to him. I'll post that in the show notes. And we'll take a look.
No, do that.
That'll be show note number 2. And if you have any links for Linda Kolstrom, I can put them in today's show notes as well.
I know she's got a website, but it's written in Swedish, so I don't know if...
Did you look at the movie that she was in?
Yeah, of course.
What did
it was
you?
An hour. It was an hour here in Gothenburg when she made a lecture for Föreningen Cui Bono. They had the film team, so I met them as well.
Were you suspicious at all?
Yeah, I were a little bit suspicious of one of them contacted me and asked if she could film Linda's lecture. And she described herself as an old journalist, and she worked for the church. And so I wrote to her that I'm a little bit skeptic about people who come from the journalistic background and didn't get this and just flipped side. So, since Linda agreed to have her filming the lecture, I let her pass and I trusted Linda's judgment. But
did you give her your misgivings? Did you tell her that be careful?
No, because Linda didn't know that she had contacted me. So after this documentary came out, I looked out the email and I sent it over to Linda. So, yeah.
Okay. That's interesting.
That way it is. Yeah. But that's the methods they can use. And, you're not allowed to do this, as Linda said, and she was to sue the Swedish state, but their motivation was, believe it or not, that they thought that Linda is a power holder, and that's why they got a right to do this Wallraff documentary about her.
Is there anyone else speaking out about vaccines like she is, though?
I think she's the most famous in the Swedish speaking world, but there are other parents that have got their children injured that are going around doing lectures as well.
Interesting.
So yeah, but it's mostly after they have experienced the vaccine damage, they get the message, and then it's mostly too late. But they do it so that to warn others, so not to do the same mistake.
Yeah, it's quite a story, but it's I guess. Mm. It's such a small country, Sweden and Finland, that there's just not going to be many high-profile people speaking out. But wow, what a crazy story! What a brave woman, though, too. Yeah. Super brave.
Yeah. What's good is that Linda, she's a home mom and has been since.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, since the first children, so she don't have any work to be sacked from. That makes you more free to speak out. Because if you have a state job or, you have a job somewhere where you're dependent of the state or some big multi corporation, then they can sack you for no reason. And then you don't have any income. And if you have loans on the house and so, it's getting, your life is getting quite hard, and then you don't get any understanding from the rest of the society or your friends. They can stop talking to you. So it's very severe consequences it can be. So Linda's very, she's got a great position to go first in line to take the hit about.
How about her husband? Did he suffer any consequence, whatever he does?
I don't know really, but he's behind her work. I think they wouldn't keep together if he weren't. So, and she told us, he trusts her judgment.
Yeah, but she's really gone out on a limb and really is doing some pretty brave stuff. So it's great that he backs her, because that's not always going to be the case.
Mm. And another thing I can tell you about we have a lot of alternative media here in Sweden, and most of them likes to take up people that have a degree of something, like a doctor, a scientist, and that will bring more power to their words. So they're still doing that mistake. They haven't realized that the whole scientific field is corrupt. And if you have a title, you have a higher degree of indoctrination only. So, So I have an education I have a Master of Science in Mechanical Engineering, but I'm driving a truck like you now, since the climate in the engineering market, there you have to be a believer on the moon landing and the COVID vaccine and science and so. So it's very hard to make a living of the profession I studied to.
Well, that's terrible. I'm lucky I don't have any of that extra knowledge, so I can't. I don't have any. I just drive a truck.
Yeah, me too.
But now I know the plan for my job in the future, and is to get rid of all the uninjected, and then just bring people from other countries to do your job. So it's one thing that you can do a computer job from another country, and not much you can do about it, but. It's another thing for them to bring over replacement workers. I think that's going to be next. They're already talking about that with the healthcare, where they say, there's not enough nurses, not enough doctors. Why don't we just allow all the people from out of the country to use their credentials and work in our hospitals? Oh, okay. Yeah. People, they don't see anything wrong with that. So instead of training people here, they'll just bring people over.
Mm.
to fill in those positions?
No.
Give them an express pass? Well, and so that's always been a debate here, but now that there's this so-called crisis that they created, then they can just get around all those regulations that were meant to protect or keep it within the country. But because we don't have countries anymore, or that's the plan, then what's the problem? We can just bring people from anywhere we want to fill in those jobs. So if you guys in your country don't want to do them, we'll just bring people in and let them. Obviously, they're going to stay. You're not going to come for the week, do the job, and then go home on the weekend. That's not going to happen. So you can see. You can see how this is well thought out.
Yeah. It's a plan that has been ongoing for a couple of hundreds or even thousands of years.
Yeah.
I think. And the biggest psyop in the beginning is it's a religion, I think.
Yeah. Well, so, we won't go there. That's that'll keep us going for the rest of the show. All right. Well, it was good of you to bring Linda on. Maybe I'll contact Linda directly, or you're still welcome to come on. But
yeah, maybe you can do a show only with her, since I've introduced you to her now.
Yeah. Well, there's so much to talk about with vaccines, and that to me that's the more interesting story, because obviously the net effect of trapping her like they did is to get her to shut up about vaccines, but that sounds to be, that's where her knowledge is and her interest is in anyway, so.
Yeah, when the storm hit, me and Patrick, we told her, whatever you do, don't excuse yourself, or just stand up and take it. Don't bow down for they're hitting you. And she has really stand up and she became a much stronger person. And as she told you, she have many new friends and better friends that now no secrets can come out of the closet, and all your friendship will disappear. Like I had that before when I had. Before I woke up, and you have a journey when you make certain discoveries, and you try to tell this new discovery to friends, you notice that they're not inviting you as much any longer, and so, at one time you make the end of that journey, and there's nothing you can tell your friends that will make them disappear. So that's really a good feeling to have, that the friends you have around you are actually real friends.
Yeah, that's true. You really sort out different people. Unfortunately, your family can sort itself out too, which is no good.
Yeah, I know.
You can't choose your family. You can choose your friends.
Yeah, but in that case, you have to make a... Well, if your family are taking the vaccine and believing on the mainstream media propaganda, you have to make a choice if you can still meet them and not argue with each other. And so, for me, it has been really hard, that part.
All right. Well, let me, I think I'm going to close her out now, but, I'm going to book you guys for next month, if you don't mind. If you're interested, I like to hear what you guys are up to, since we didn't have Patrick on this time as well.
Yeah. Maybe in the late September sometime.
Okay. I can do that. Is that a better time? The end of September?
Yeah, we have election here. It actually doesn't do anything anyway, but on the 11th of September, of all the dates.
Of course. Okay. All right, well, I'll book you and Patrick then, and maybe I'll talk to Linda earlier. That would be fine.
Yeah, do so.
But I appreciate all your work. I appreciate you making connections for me. That was a pretty interesting discussion. And yeah, I guess have a good rest of the summer. And
you too.
Say hi to Patrick.
I will. I think he will be listening to this show afterwards, since Linda is on the show as well.
Oh right, yeah. Yeah, is he into this whole topic as much as you are?
Yeah, even more. Yes.
Okay.
That's his special.
Okay. Well, yeah, we'll have to get him on too. Maybe we'll connect with him if he wants to come on earlier, just to see what he's up to. I know he's half of the Tycos model as well.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Pat. Thank you, Martin. Good talking to you.
Yeah. Thank you, Tim.
Send me any links you have to your show page. If you want any links you want, just email and I'll put them in the show notes.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. There goes Martin of Cui Bono. Good talking to him. Thank you to Linda Kallström from somewhere in Finland. That was an interesting discussion. Don't forget, we have fakeologist.com. We have fakeotube.com. We upped the ante on Fakeotube. It's now faster and should be more responsive. And I've noticed that the view counts are up. And why is that, you ask? Well, if a website's not responsive and not loading, it usually doesn't count as a view. And people have no patience. So if a video doesn't load within half a second, they usually just abandon it and that doesn't get counted. But now I have a funny feeling, I haven't tested it perfectly, that people, when they go to the website, the videos start playing right away, much faster. So therefore, all the view counts are well over 2 grand now. My chat with Mark Tokarski has almost 3,000 views, which is tremendous. That doesn't even count the audios. I don't even have the numbers for the audio downloads. I don't really trust audio downloads because on a podcast player, when you download something, it doesn't mean you listen to it. So that's why I always say, if you listen to any of my audios, make sure you contact me. I'm at fakeologist.com. fakeologist.com/contact and hit me up and let me know you listen. I have a voicemail. I'll play it maybe next time. Somebody said he's a longtime listener and he asked me a question and I don't remember what the question was, but I will play it next time, maybe discuss it. Don't forget, just go to fakeologist.com, the main page. That's where all the links are. You see a little banner here at the bottom for donations now. Well, thank you, Velocet, for setting that up. And thanks for all the donors. I haven't had any donors lately, so I have no one to thank. Just the regular donors. We have regular people that make donations every month, the monthly donors. I should shout them out. That would only make sense, wouldn't it? So we have Eza T, $20 a month. Thank you so much. We have Patreon regular donors. And you go to fakeologist.com/donate. You're going to see these donors here. Daniel, $10 a month. John R, $10 a month. Zyleflex, $33 a month. Thank you so much. These are the guys that are making this site possible. The monthly donors. And many of you guys, as monthly donors, have been here a long time. Leah, Pepper, Dirty Benny, Anders, Harvest Moon, Stratman, Waterman Chris, Go Find the Others, Bing, Gary G, Jan Van G, a long time donor, Simon, Mark T, Robert K. Thank you guys. I really appreciate it. All right. Well, we'll be back Tuesday. Thanks everyone for listening. Have a good one. Take care.